We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachem Mishnah and Ham Yaakov ben Pinchas de Leo. We're in Bava Kama, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. First statement in the Mishnah is Shum Kesef. The word Shum means, or Shuma, means to evaluate, to appraise. We're speaking about the appraisal of the value of the damage. Kesef means money. So the Gemara has a brice that explains what the Mishnah's intent here is. Let's say you have a case where Reuven had a cow, and Reuven's cow went into Shimon's backyard, and it ripped up a tree. Trampled on Shimon's coat. So now Shimon's jacket is all ripped up. This is an example of regel, because it went into his property and it trampled. So that's an example of regel. Regel doesn't have to be on crops. It could be on a tile, it could be on anything. So now Reuven would have to pay Shimon for the value of the jacket. But that same jacket, now which is ripped, Shimon took and happened to leave it in Rosh Hasharabim. Later on another occasion, the next day, a couple of days later, and Reuven's animal is walking in Rosh Hasharabim and slips on that. That's an example of boar. You don't need a pit, actually, in the category of boars. Anytime you have something in that does not belong to Rosh Hasharabim and it causes damage. So now Shimon causes damage to Reuven. And first Reuven caused damage to Shimon, and that same to that talus, and that same very talus caused damage to that very para that caused the damage. So maybe we should say we should call it even. So the Mishnah says no. Shum kesef. We appraise based on the value of each of the damages. It's brought to court, and whatever has to be paid. Obviously, there's going to be a difference between. Not going to be the exact damage. You evaluate what the cost of the jacket is on the one hand. You evaluate let's say the animal broke its leg, what the value of that damage is, and then see what each one is, and then the payment is going to be made. Then the Mishnah says, Veshava kesef. Now, shava kesef usually means not cash, but something that that's worth money. So that can be anything. That usually can mean, let's say we speak about the ring under a chuppah is shava kesef. But here, that's not what the Mishnah means. Here, shava kesef specifically refers to real estate, to karka, and not metaltolin, and obviously not kesef itself. And the chiddush here of the Mishnah regarding damages is that if, let's say, the mazik, the one who caused the damage, passed away, and now he owes this debt, he owes this damage to the victim, and the victim now comes to the summon to the orphans, to this man, to this of the mazik, and say, I want to be paid. So the halacha is this principle, metaltale diyasme lo mishtabde labal chov, which means that the movable objects, and certainly the cash of the yisomim and the orphans, are not mishuba. There's no lien upon it for them to pay any debt, whether the debt is where money is owed, let's say where the loav is owed money, and the malva comes to their orphans of the deceased to collect his loan, or in this case the niza comes to collect from the orphans of the mazik. So they don't have to pay from cash or metaltlin, but rather shove kesef. They only pay from karka, from real estate, and that's it. Then the Mishnah says, Bifnei Beistin, another halakha regarding Nizikin, and that is that the appraisal of the Nizikin needs to be done in not only in front of Beistin, but specifically Mumchim, people who are experts, people who have smicha, an unbroken chain from Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's what we call Mumchim. It cannot use Hedyotos, ordinary judges. Ve'al pi Edim. You also need Edim. Edim have to testify who are brought to Beis Din, as opposed to, let's say we have cases where, let's say you have there's a fine that someone owes money. Let's say a case of Kefel. So Kefel, someone steals money and owes double. So the halacha is that if he's Modeh B'Kras, if he comes and admits, I stole, the halacha is he only pays the principal, he doesn't have to pay the double, because Modeh B'Kras Pater, one who, based on the Pasuk, Asher Yarshiun Elokim, only when the Beis Din, who's the Elokim, makes a person into a rasha, do you have to pay knas? You have to pay a fine. Kefil is one example of a fine. We have many other fines. We've spoken about ones and mefate, motzi shemra in other mesechtos. So modi b'knas is going to be pater. That does not apply to nezikin. Nezikin is you. There's no din of modi b'knas. Here the halacha is that you need edim to testify and to testify that the nezik indeed took place. And then the person is going to be chayv based on the edim. Meaning, in case of knas, let's say someone admits to owing kefil, I owe double because I stole something, and then edim come afterwards. And they testify. You owe kefil. So halach is he doesn't have to pay because he came, he preceded the edim, and it doesn't matter. So it comes to although when it comes to modeh b'knas, you're going to be potter, and even if edim come afterwards, you're going to be potter. When it comes to nezikin, you can come and admit as much as you like. But if edim come at any time and they testify that you caused damage, you have to pay. You're not exempt if you admit to the fact that you damaged. And then Mishnah says b'nei chorin b'nei bris, meaning these edim have to be b'nei chorin. They cannot be avadim kananiim. They can't be, and they have to be b'nei bris. They can't be non-Jews who are pasul eidus. The halacha is that this that the Rambam writes ein anezokin mishtalmin el barayo barura. You need a good proof uve edim akshem lahoid, and they have to be kosher edim. Why? And then the Rambam adds on shalotomar hoil vein mitzuyin ba avaros hasusim ba avros hasusim uve refes abakar uve gidros tzon elah avadim v'haro mekayotze bahen im heidu. Meaning when the Rambam's telling us that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is like this, why would I have thought that I can use Edim that's an Eved Kanani, like an Eved or non-Jew, let's say, maybe they should be Kashal Edim. So the answer is because maybe you don't have, let's say Avadim, maybe those are the ones who are typically around the animals because they're working with the animals. So maybe those are the ones who we should use to testify. They're the ones who are maybe only available, or they're the ones that are around to be able to see when there are damages that an animal causes. So the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that we don't assume that. We don't allow that. We need Edim who are Ksherim, who are B'nei Chorim, and B'nei Bris. Then the Mishnah says, V'hanashim b'chlal ha'nezek. The halachos of a woman and a man are equal when it comes to Nezikin, whether she causes damage to others or she is the victim of others, based on the pasuk. Ve'elah ha'mishpatim ha'sher tasim lifnehem. Lifnehem means in front of all who stood at Har Sinai. That statement, of course, of Mishpatim, the beginning of that parsha, is right after Parshas Yisro, after Har Sinai. And therefore, we say hishva hakasav isha leishvul choldinim shem b'Torah, that women and men are compared to one another regarding all halachos in the Torah regarding damages. V'hanizak v'hamazak b'tashlumin. This literally means that there are times that the nizak, the victim, and the mazak, the perpetrator of the damage, are b'tashlumin, are going to join together in partnership regarding the payment. What does that mean? So, take for example the case of a shor tam. We mentioned that a shor tam, the first three times an animal gores, it only has, because that's unique, that's mishuna, that's not something that's typical, the owner only has to pay half nezek. So by paying half nezek, it's another way of saying that the nizak, the victim, is paying part as well. The fact that he's not getting the full damage, we could say that the mazik and the nizak join together in that tashlumen. Now it's worthwhile to discuss here that a very famous machlokas amoraim in the Gemara, and which sheds light on this halacha in the Mishnah. The Gemara has a machlokes when it comes to this chatzi nezek, what the status, what the nature of that chatzi nezek is. When you're paying half damages, it's a little bit strange. Well, half damages, you cause damage to the animal that, let's say, Reuven's animal killed Shimon's cow, and the cow was worth $400. So Reuven only has to pay $200. So why is he paying only $200? What's the nature of this payment? Either you have to pay, you don't have to pay. Isn't that the way the nizikin usually works? So according to Rav Papa says, the truth is, you really have to pay, you really should have to pay all 400, but the Torah had rachamanus on you the first three times, where maybe you didn't keep in mind to watch your animal because you didn't expect it to gore, so to cause this kind of damage, because it's unique to it, and therefore we'll have rachamanus, you only have to pay half. But the 200 that's being paid for moving to Shimon is what we call mamon, palganizka mamona. Half nezek, that's Aramaic. Half nezek has the status of money. It's real money. You really should have paid 400. You're paying 200, but you had to have that. Certainly have to pay 200. So if that's true, then when the Mishnah says that the nezek and the mazek join together in partnership, so to speak, regarding this payment, it's very, very true. Because what the mazek is paying is 200, is partially, he really owes 400. So he's paying like the 200, and we're sort of making the nezek pay 200. It's not really paying, but the idea that he's only getting 200 out of the 400, so he's also, so to speak, paying part of that 400. However, Rav Huna disagrees. Rav Huna believes that the nature of half nezek, palganizka is kanas, is a fine. is a penalty. We don't view it as mammon at all, which means because we don't expect an animal to gore, so then this the fact that he has to pay the first three times is not the Torah having rachmanis on you. Then on the contrary, is the Torah shouldn't have to pay anything because the animal is not expected to gore, even if it does it a few times. Once it does three times, it's habitual, then you're going to have to pay. But before that, you should have to pay zero, not even half. So why are we giving you this $200 payment out of $400? So the answer is because we give you a penalty that you'll watch your animal. But how much of that is really mammon, is really has the status of money, of real payment? None of it. The $200 is just a fine. Palka, nizka, knas. And there are nafkaminas, a practical difference between mammon and knas. Let's say in days where we don't have mumchim, you don't have people with real smicha, can you impose a knas upon people? These are real halachos that are very practical. So, but nonetheless, if that's true, that the nature of the half nezek, according to Rav Huna, is not mamona, but it's knas, it's only a fine, so then this mishnah doesn't make any sense. The phrase hanizak v'hamazek b'tashlumin, they join together in payment, that's not true. When we say that Ruvain paid Shimon $200 of chatzi nezek, that's not Shimon joining together with Ruvain. Ruvain doesn't really owe Shimon anything. The $200 is a gift, is a penalty. So what does the Mishnah then mean when it says the Nizak and the Mazik joined together in payment? So the Gemara answers that according to Rav Huna, there is a situation where the Nizak and the Mazik join together and the Nizak, so to speak, pays out towards the damage. How is that so? Well, this is not a case of Chatzi Nezek. It could be any case. Take the following. You have our example, Ruvain's animal, Ruvain's animal killed Shimon's animal, and the halacha is, and it caused the $400 damage. Okay, so let's take a case of Gur. You have to pay $400. And then what happened? But the skin of the animal had died. So let's say the skin of the animal is worth $20. So the halacha is that what Reuven really has to pay out of pocket to Shimon is $380. Why? Because Shimon already has the dead animal. That's the nevela. The nevela is belongs to him. So $220 is already paid, and $380 is paid now from Reuven to Shimon. Shimon is that value he gets to keep. So he's not paying anything. But let's say that depreciates. Let's say by the time he comes to court, that the skin of the animal, right, from the time of death to the time of Hamad Abedin coming to court, it's only worth $10. It depreciated by $10. So what does Reuven have to pay Shimon? $380 or $390? So the answer is only $380. So in that way, that extra $10 is what we call pchas nevela, the depreciation of the nevela of the dead animal. That's Shimon's problem. That's Shimon's loss. And in that way, the nizak, it joins the mazik in payment, and that's what this mishnah can mean, even according to Rav Huna. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. Chamisha tamin v'chamisha mu'adim. There are five shor tams. We mentioned shor tam already, and five mu'adim, as we'll explain. Just a little background to the chumash. In Parshas Mishpatim, it speaks about the chiyigov shor ish as shor ayuv ames. You have Reuven shor pushes or gores Shimon shor, and it dies. Umachuras ashor achai v'chatzuras kaspo speaks about selling the animal and splitting the money. Gam v'sames yechatzun. Oh no, da. But if you find out that it's a shor mu'ad, shor nagach, it really is habitually gores mitmol shel shom. We'll learn later that that refers to three times, yesterday and the day before, and now today, so that's three times. V'lo yishmerenu ba'alav, so then you have to pay full nezek. So that's the shor tam, and then the shor mu'ad. And the Rambam writes in his commentary to the Mishnah, Tam Nikra Hadavar Mahamazik below Hergil. With it's not typical, it's not habitual. We don't expect that it comes from this animal, but it happens. That's that umuad nikra hadavar shehurgal sheyavo mimenu osahamaiset tamid. That's where something we typical, either after it does it three times, and now it's habitual, or and he says, oh, ala rov, something that it does it in majority of cases. Or let's say cases where it starts out as mu'ud, as we mentioned, shein and regel. The fact that an animal eats in someone else's property or tramples, that's considered mu'ud as well. So, and so those are examples. So what we call mu'ud mitchila, so shein and regel. And then we have cases of keren, of goring, let's say, which is not mu'ud mitchila, so that takes three times for it to become mu'ud. So the Mishnah here says like this, chamisha tamin, there are five cases where the we have where an animal will be a tam, where it's not habitual that it's going to cause damage. And therefore, the owner only has to pay half nezik the first three times. The chamisha mu'adim, and five cases where they are mu'ad. So let's go through them. Habehema ena mu'edes, it's not considered a mu'ad mitchila, meaning it's considered tam the first three times and pays only half nezik, lo ligach, mean to gore with its horns, v'lo ligof, to push with its body, v'lo lishoch, to bite, v'lo lirbot, and to crouch down and cause damage, v'lo livot, and not to kick, which means in all of these cases, it's not considered mu'ad. That's what it means. Lo ligach, lo ligof, lo lishoch, lo lirbot, lo livot, to do any of these things. These are not typical of an animal to do, and in order to pay nezik shalem, you would have to they would have to do it three times, and then if it bites three times, then on the fourth time you pay nezik shalem. If it pushes three times, you pay nezik shalem on the fourth time. If it gores three times, you pay nezik shalem on the fourth time, and the same thing would be true regarding crouching and kicking. But now we have the five muadim. Now that's considered, that's really sounds like it's all in one category, but we call those five tamim. And now we're speaking about five mu'adim, things that start out as mu'ad, mu'ad mitchilasan. Hashein mu'edes le'echolis haroila. So shein, we've mentioned that's where the animal eats or gets pleasure. It, normally, it's typical to eat that which it's fit for it to eat. If it's obviously eating something that it's not fit for it to eat, and it swallows a piece of clothing, so maybe that it would have to do that three times before yinezek shalom. But when it comes to food that an animal typically eats, that's mu'ad mitchila, fruit, vegetables, you would have to pay nezek shalim the first time. Haregel mu'edes lishabir b'derech ilucha. And regel, we may mention that's considered mu'ad to cause damage, to break things, let's say kalim, as it walks without paying attention. That's mu'ad mitchila, pay nezek shalim the first time. Vishor hamu'ad, and shor hamu'ad is just really is the mu'ad category of the five things we mentioned before. Meaning, if you take any one of the, although we call them five tamim, when we're taking any one of those five cases, the biting, the kicking, the crouching, the goring, etc. So once it does that three times, that's considered mu'ad. That's what we call shor hamu'ad. That's an example mu'ad number three. And vishor number four is vishor hamazik b'rishus hanizak. This is an example. What does it mean? Shor that's mazik in the rishus of the nizak. So let's say you have an animal and it gores or pushes or whatever it is, even though it's a short time, but it does it in the field, in the domain of the nizak, of the victim. So then the Mishnah says, and this is Rabbi Tarfon's opinion, it's a minority opinion, which we do not follow, which we'll learn later on in the second parak, that a shor that's mazik in the Rishus HaNizak pays nezek shalem even for a tam. He learns that through a kal vachomer, which the Mishnah will discuss it at length. But the point is that here, that according to Rabbi Tarfon at least, this is another example of a mu'ad. It could be a case of keren, and keren we say is not mu'ad to begin with, but since it was done in the Rishus of the victim, you're going to pay nezek shalem. So let's say what the Mishnah is basically telling us, according to Rabbi Tarfon, is if you have Reuven Shor gores for the first time, second time, or third time, it gores Shimon Shor and kills it in a Rosh Hasharabim, you pay chatzi nezek. But if it went into Shimon's backyard and gored and killed Shimon Shor, even though it was the first time it did it, you pay nezek shalem. So that's another example of a muad, according to at least Rabbi Tarfon. And the fifth one is Veha Adam. And man, we say Adam Mu'ad Lo'olam, a man who causes injury to someone, we'll learn later in the Masechta. Ben Shogeg, Ben Mezid, Ben Ones, Ben Ramaratzon, it doesn't matter whether it's Shogeg or Mezid, it doesn't make a difference. Adam Hamazik is considered Mu'ad to begin with. You don't say, oh, okay, only after you punch the person the fourth time, now already, after you did it three times, now on the fourth, you have to pay Nezek Shalom. No, a man, Adam, causing damage, causing injury, is considered, or damage to any to someone's property, is considered muad mitchila. Then the Mishnah says, Hazeev v'ha'ari v'ha'dov v'ha'namer v'ha'bardelos v'ha'nachash harei elu muadim. This is an example of now the Mishnah is discussing, so we list the five muadim before, and now we're just telling you that not all animals start out with, let's say, certain things, let's say biting, for example. So we said, oh, biting is considered a tam for an ox the first three times, and only after the fourth time do we say, on that fourth time, are you going to pay nezek shalem. That is not true for certain animals that are considered muad mitchila. Certain animals, ze'ev, a wolf, an ari, a lion, a dove, a bear, a namer, a leopard, a bard, different explanations what the bardalos is. Another type of in the cat family, vehanachash, and a snake. These are all muad mitchila. So that means if they crouched, if they bit, they pushed, and the like, they pay nezek shalom even the first time. And that's why they weren't included with the chamisha muadim. And the fact that, oh, why didn't he mention men? So you should have put that on the list of those which are muad mitchila. So the answer is these animals are usually not found in civilized areas where people are living. So therefore, we didn't mention them. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Bizman, Shehin, B'nei Tarbus. Einon muadim. He says, now these animals, I don't agree, they're always muadim mitchilas. You could have, let's say, you train a lion, you train a wolf, you train a snake, so they, we'll get to the snake in a second. You train a lion, it's say, there, so maybe it's not muad. They're not muad, they're not always, they're b'nei tarbus. If a person raised them train them that they don't cause damage, ain't a muadim. But v'hanachash muad la'olam. But then he adds on, now when it comes to a snake is, even if you try to train it, that's considered muad la'olam, and if it causes damage, even if you had trained it, you pay nezek shalom. So the nachash is really, even in Kajab Eliezer, the nachash remains muad la'olam. Ma bein tam l'muad. So here's the famous question. So what's the difference between a tam and a muad? Ela shahatam mishalem mechatzi nezek migufo v'hamuad mishalem nezek shalem min ha'aliyah. So what does it mean migufo and aliyah? This is another leniency of tam. And that is not only that when it comes to tam, you pay chatzi nezek the first three times, but you also never pay more than the value of the animal itself. So if you have it, take the example of Reuven Shor caused damage to Shimon. Shimon Shor is worth $400. Okay, so now, and what's Chati Nezek? $200. So how much does Reuven have to pay Shimon? We said $200 the first three times, Shor Tam. But let's say Reuven's animal is only worth $100. His animal's very inexpensive, very small animal, let's say, and it happens to cause this damage of $400, and Chati Nezek is $200. He only has to pay $100. Migufo, from the body itself of the animal, you don't have to pay for Chatzi Nezek so you're not even going to pay Chatzi Nezek, you pay less than Chatzi Nezek. So that's one of the coolers of Tom, one of the leniencies is not only you pay Chatzi Nezek, but it's only Migufo, you never pay more than the value of the animal that did the damage. But Vahamuad is Meshalmin Aliyah, Nezek Shalemin Aliyah. The Muad pays Nezek Shalem, and it pays Nezek Shalem Min Aliyah, which means that he's going to pay the full amount, and even more than the animal would be worth. That is another difference between, the Gemara points out that there happen to be other differences between Shor Tam and Shor Muad, but this is what we call Tana V'Shayer. Sometimes the Mishnah gives you a list of things and leaves over other examples. Mishnah only gives you certain examples, and we leave it to the Gemara to give you others.